Matter of Spirit is the quarterly justice journal of the Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center. This article appeared in the spring 2020 issue on environmental justice. An Introduction to Environmental Justice by Robin Morris Collin. Robin Morris Collin is the Norma J. Paulus Professor of Law at Willamette University College of Law in Oregon. She is the first U.S. law professor to teach sustainability courses in a U.S. law school. She is the chair of the Oregon Commission for Women and a former commissioner of the Oregon Commission on Black Affairs. The terms environmental justice, environmental racism, and environmental equity have all been used in the United States to describe the social movement uniting low-income African-American, Native American, Asian Pacific Islander, and Latino communities challenging the distribution of environmental burdens and benefits in their communities. These communities disproportionately receive the wastes and pollution produced by industry and few of the ultimate benefits these activities generate. Over time, the land, air, and water of these communities has been left degraded, and the health of the people who live there, women, men, and children, has been compromised. These are the sacrifice zones created by policies of industrialism and racism that underlie climate change and epigenetic harms to both the environment and the people. And these sacrifice zones are spreading to global proportions as the climate reflects these policies. The environmental justice movement chronicles the inequitable distribution of environmental burdens that exist today as the direct result of past policies. Equity demands forward-looking policies aimed at changing these outcomes. A downward spiral of destabilization and environmental degradation is created by public policies and private values rooted in greed. That spiral of degradation knowingly harms our environment, threatening all lives, and concentrates harms in the sacrifice zones of poor and vulnerable communities. But policies of sustainability and so-called environmental justice that ignore or exclude racial, ethnic, gender, and economic injustices will continue to generate environmental and human harm. The environmental justice movement in the United States arose from communities disproportionately burdened by pollution, resisting these public policies, concentrating waste in their midst. Climate change, inequitable access to water, land, food, health, and education, and a host of other modern crises are the direct consequence of social, economic, and political policies that treated nature and people as commodities to be used for the generation of profits. These policies appealed to a utilitarian logic that became joined with racism. Utilitarian logic seeks the greatest good for the greatest number. Utilitarian logic, when applied by a racist system or person, will make choices that benefit those deemed worthy of consideration while imposing costs, intentionally or implicitly, on those deemed unworthy or made invisible by implicit biases. The dynamic of exclusion can be explicit, and it can also be implicit in how we make choices. This dynamic is empirically observable and measurable in the ways hazardous waste and pollution have been distributed in communities of color, nationally and globally, in the distribution of health impacts from pollution on communities of color, and in the distribution of the devastating consequences of climate change. The systems we inherited were the products of empires, political, military, and economic. empires with an agenda of conquest. In them, greed acquired the royal clothing of formal religion and the power of a gun. Armed and winged, greed marched mercilessly over the earth and her people. Religion clad this army with vindication, not redemption. Winged like angels and armed like demons, greed became the organizing principle of our lives. Nature and poor people were trampled underfoot like the grass when elephants fight. We made systems that carved up people and land into commodities. We inherited systems from another age that poisoned the air, destroyed the cycles of temperature controls of the earth, and sickened our children and elders. From transportation to agriculture, from housing to employment, we created systems that venerated greed without qualifications or limits. Consequences that we are suffering now follow the footsteps of these earlier policies into the landscape of our land, air, and water, as well as the cultures, communities, bodies, and bones of the people sacrificed to insatiable greed. In the United States, these policies and their continuing effects are identifiable on a geographical map of isolated, exploited, economically starved, and vulnerable communities, and in the burdened bodies of people of these communities. These maps can be generated in free online applications such as EJ Screen. Studies by government, nonprofit organizations, and academics have validated claims about underlying racism and its consequences, providing the basis for organized resistance to environmental burdens such as polluting facilities and abandoned hazardous waste sites. In addition to these studies, a variety of publications, including church bulletins, articles, books, and conference proceedings, have given the movement greater visibility and power. In 1983, a United States General Accounting Office study revealed that 3 out of 4 off-site commercial hazardous waste landfills in the southeastern United States were located within predominantly African American communities, even though African Americans made up only 1/5 of the entire population. Subsequent studies revealed that industry specifically targeted communities that were the least able to resist unwanted land uses. In 1987, the United Church of Christ Commission for Racial Justice issued the first national study to correlate waste facilities and race. The study Toxic Waste and Race found that race was the most significant factor in determining where waste facilities were located to a 99.9% certainty. A follow-up study in 1994 concluded that this trend had worsened. In 1992, a study by the National Law Journal on Equal Protection uncovered significant disparities in the way the United States Environmental Protection Agency enforced environmental laws. White communities saw faster action, better results, and the imposition of stiffer penalties on the perpetrators than African Americans, Latinos, and other minority communities. Most recently, in 2018, EPA issued a report confirming that a focus on poverty to the exclusion of race may be insufficient to meet the needs of all burdened populations. Environmental justice struggles continue to receive national and international media attention. In Flint, Michigan in 2016, government officials knowingly exposed African American and low-income residents to lead-contaminated drinking water. Agency officials were charged with crimes, including involuntary manslaughter. The Dakota Access Pipeline controversy drew thousands of protesters to their site, who were attacked with pepper spray, rubber bullets, sound cannons, water hoses, and attack dogs. Climate change is accelerating the intensity and occurrence of environmental disasters. The governmental disaster relief response to EJ screen communities is to abandon its own people. The grotesquely inadequate response to Hurricane Maria in 2017 reminded observers of the same horror when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans in 2005. Yet the most pernicious legacy of this history remains in our land, air, water, and in the bodies of people most exposed. The effects of environmental injustice transcend human generations, becoming inheritable genetic consequences of trauma to the land and communities. What is now clear from epigenetic study is that social conditions affect the way the cells of a human body use genes responding to social conditions of environmental justice. Those cellular level responses are transmitted from one generation to future generations. The social conditions of slavery, conquest, and exploitation have left indelible markers on the bodies of people of color that are affecting contemporary and future generations. These markers make populations of color sicker from diseases ranging from asthma, low birth weight babies, maternal mortality, diabetes, heart disease, and other lung conditions. Race remains a major determining factor in business and government environmental decisions. As the 2018 EPA report recognized, analysis of environmental injustice that disregards race will not be adequate to address the needs of environmentally burdened communities. The environmental justice movement has demanded the restoration of communities and repair of nature as a form of corrective justice. Corrective justice requires the rectification of harm to eliminate suffering. Justice requires that the wrongdoer pay the true and full cost of the wrongdoing to all victims, ensuring that the cost of harm caused by wrongdoing will not be externalized onto innocent people. This is the necessary bridge to sustainability, linking environment, economics, and equity. Linking reparations to ecosystems and communities provides the intergenerational and transformative development needed to achieve climate and environmental justice. Neither disaster relief nor social welfare goals will provide the intergenerational restoration of nature that is required. Such a reparative connection must be place-based and operate through the environmental justice communities that live and continue to struggle with the consequences of pollution. We must make amends for wrongs to the earth and to our contemporaries for wrongs that degrade them and us, even if the only wrong we committed was to enjoy the fruits of wrongdoing. We must demand reconciliation of our faiths and amends making to the earth from our nations. Our faiths clothed conquest, murder, slavery, and rape with a powerful entitlement. For sins done in the name of faith, faith must atone. Our nations have spent your inheritance on arms. They must give back to the earth accordingly in ways that care for the systems that support life, not by using force to take life.